So we're picking up. We're still in matters of the heart, but we're doing Hebrews 12 right now, 12:1. And, of course, we're doing more than one, but, you know, that's the meat. Who did not hear last week's message? Let me see your hands. One, two, three. Okay, so I need to make sure I get do some a little bit of backfilling, make sure everybody's up to date. I won't go back to Hebrews 11 again, but we know it says, you know, without faith it's impossible to please him. And then it talks about by faith, and it went in to describe what these men and women of faith did. And I love it because it says, starts with faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And we talked about spiritual substance not being physical substance. You paying attention? So if faith is substance, that means faith is something that you can touch, but you can't touch it with your hands. It's substance. It's real. It's tangible. It's real as this pad in my hand, but you can't touch it with physical stuff. It's a substance that's in the realm of the spirit, and spiritual things can only be touched spiritually. Did you catch that? Simple reality, but it's deep. So here should be a question, and then I'll jump off. So like I said, I covered a lot of this last week. How do we reach into the realm of the spirit and grab stuff and pull it into the realm of the natural? It's a good question. If faith is a substance, when we have a need and we pray, I didn't want to stay long on this, but I just want to make sure I get to, because this is so foundational. Do you mind? Have you ever had a need from God that no earthly thing could fix? Let me see your hands. So you needed a substance that you couldn't touch then. You couldn't fix it with money. It could be something like a really broken heart. You can't fix that with money. You can't fix that even with people telling you, there, baby, it's going to be all right. You probably even had a person come and lay hands on you and quote a scripture, and all you heard is wah, 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 right? Because they couldn't touch that need with their words or their encouragement or anything else. So what people tend to do when they don't have the hope that we have is they turn to drugs, because drugs numb you. Don't heal you. They just numb you so you don't have to feel the pain that exists in your life. But when you know about spiritual substance, you reach in. And even though you think you don't know how, you figure it out real quick in those moments, don't you? You know that you need something from God that a man's hands can't fix, and you call out and you reach up into the realms of the heavens with your prayer. And you may start by whining and crying and complaining, and you realize that don't work. Then you go from feeling sorry to yourself to trying to get mad at God, and you realize that don't work. Come on now. And then all of a sudden, you start to, something inside you starts to rise up, and you begin to say, but when I am weak, it is then that he is strong, for his strength is perfected in my weakness. God, I can't do this. I need you. And with that, you reach into the realm of the heavens, and you grab a hold of something. It may be a verse you're standing on, whatever, but you catch it and you pull it into this realm. And all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, you get up and you feel totally perfect. People say, you okay? I'm fine. Well, wait, what happened? I'm good. What happened? I can't explain it to you. I prayed. God's, but we prayed for you. And then he started taking credit. Well, it must have been my prayer for you. Hallelujah. No. There wasn't that prayer for you. I can pray for you all day, and I can come in agreement with you all day, but I don't have enough power to pull from heaven what you need. Your faith does that. Your faith reaches into the realm. You may have gotten in agreement with me. I may have added my faith to your faith or helped you get your faith up because your faith wasn't up there, but whatever I did, the ultimate move was yours. I thought I'd get a few more amen than that. Come on, give it to me loud.
Amen.
Yes. That's your power. God gave that to you. And let me tell you what's powerful about that power. No force in heaven, earth, or hell can take that from you. Once you lock on with a commitment of belief about something, you know nobody can take that from you. That's yours. You need to honor that a little bit better. Because that's the substance. I mean, that's the substance grabber. That's that supermarket hook. I don't know if they still have it, where they used to reach on the top shelf and catch it with the hook and pull it down. That's your hook that reaches into the realm of the heavens and grabs a hold of that hope and pulls it into the realm of the natural. That's a gift God gave you. You may not utilize it as much as you should, but it's there for the using. Well, how do I get there, Pastor? Well, forget about feelings and decide what's truth. Caught that, huh, Shell? I don't feel good. Everything seems wrong. I don't know what I'm doing. I feel like a failure. I feel like a loser. Okay, got it. We hear all of that. Now, what's your position? I understand what you feel. Want me to sit here and cry with you? I'll cry with you a few minutes. But sooner or later, I got to say, okay, but the marshal will be here tomorrow. What we going to do? Right. I understand what you feel. It hurts, it sucks, it ain't fair, blah, 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 blah. What are we going to do? And is at that point you say, brother, pastor, whatever, I don't know what to do in the natural. I'm going to put my hope in God. He ain't let me down yet. He won't let me down today. See, that's when the claw reaches up into the realm and catches something. Who am I talking to you today? That when you decide, I'm done, I got squat. Your all laid hands on me, that was powerful. But like I said, when I saw the kids, I made a decision, this is done. This is done. But I had to grab, I saw something. I appreciated everybody's prayer, but I saw something on the face of Anaya. I saw something on Jaden's, the way he was standing. I said, God, you ain't going to ignore these kids. You may love everybody in this room, but you ain't going to ignore these kids. And based on that, I receive it right now. Now, Claw went up and caught it. Now, I was believing, but at that moment, I got it. And nobody in this room could have looked at me. Look, blood could have started running down my face, and I would have said, whatever is mine. That's your position and your decision to make, and nobody can make that for you. You can ask 50,000 people to pray for you. Don't make a difference. There's not enough prayer in the world that's going to make you not have to grab what God has spoken and laid out for you. If you think I'm wrong, listen to me close, because I know people you love your prayer circles and all this mess, and I ain't against your prayer circle, but a prayer circle is just a circle of people making noise if it ain't no faith in it. Listen to me. We could get everybody in this church and every Christian we want to come into agreement that somebody going to get saved. Will it happen without them making the confession? Thank you. We can pray that God move on them. We can pray that God touch them. We can pray that God shake them up. But until they say, I accept you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior, the claw don't go up. So it'll make a difference how many people are praying for you. At some point, I have the responsibility to claim that and receive that which God says is mine. Amen. Now, I just needed to get that in before I go forward. So now, if we believe faith is the substance of things hoped for, and then he went on to say in the rest of 11, which is amazing, he goes on and he doesn't say, and by faith, these great men of old got a new car and a new house and a raise on their jobs. By faith, they got a mansion and a lot of money. No, it goes on and talks about by faith, they were persecuted. They were thrown into the lion's den and sang as they went. But come on now. It talked about people that got a hold of something bigger than material gains and things that just got them through the day. It talked about people that said, I have a faith, and by faith, this cloud of witnesses stood against everything that came against them without breaking. I know that's not a popular message. We just like the first verse. But it goes on, and we love them, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For those who come to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Yes, but then when it goes on to describe, by faith, Abraham sacrificed his son, was willing to give his son up to death for his belief. See, that ain't a new car. Yeah, I hear you. You're talking truth. This is something that you're about to surrender that may never be yours again. In the natural. But he made the decision. He tied his son up on that altar and he took that knife. And God said, stop. We good. We good. We good. People said, yeah, God just wanted to see what Abraham was going to do. Stupid. Stupid, 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 stupid. If you ever say that as a preacher, you stupid. So God didn't know what Abraham was going to do? I thought he was omniscient. God, so God was like, I wonder if Abraham's really going to do that. God will put you in a situation so you can see what you will do. He don't need to see what you, he knows that you're going to, but sometimes you don't know how you're going to react to something until you put in a situation to show. Sometimes you think you're strong about something and you're really weak about it when the situation comes. Sometimes you think, oh, I don't know if that happened to me, I would panic. And it happens to you and all of a sudden you got strength that you didn't even know you had. That the next time it happened, you go, I ain't going to freak out like that again because I already saw how God delivers, so I already know I got victory right here. But sometimes you don't know what you have. It's like the mother bird kicking the baby bird out the nest. She don't kick him out the nest to see if he's going to splatter on the ground. She kicks him out the nest because she know that the time has come for them to fly. I don't think any mother bird said, well, this one might live, this one might die. Here we go. They know, no, you can fly. You just don't know you can. I'm putting you in a situation to see that you can. There's not a situation God put you in to see what you will do. He'll put you in a situation so that you can do what you already trained to do. Amen. He put you there so you can win and stop talking about winning. Amen. Church loves singing about winning, but they don't like winning. We love winning songs. We win. Yeah, go win then. Go win at something. Stop singing about it and go win. Everybody can win in church. The devil is defeated. Okay, go defeat him. Go defeat him then. Go put him under your feet then. If he's under your feet, show it to the world. Yo, they get on TV and they make fun of us. I thought you was defeated. So he's defeated on good days. He's defeated on days when things are going right for you and your trainer's on time and you got the work and the boss didn't fuss at you. That's when God has the victory, huh? These people took stands that were life-threatening stands because they believed. This is the witnesses that he is saying we're surrounded by. These are people that did extraordinary things. These are things that these people that, didn't count this world worth much. They willing to turn it all away just to have the glory of God. Listen. This is why I can stand like I stand in adversity. Because I've seen. Oh, yeah, there's parts of me that still need to be developed. There's parts of me that's still growing. Ain't no question about it. But those of you who know me knows I know how to stand. No, I don't back down. I don't shiver and shake. I say, look, I'll die standing, but I'll stand. And I remember, my wife, you remember, some of you wasn't around long enough, where all of a sudden I came down out of nowhere with this like, overwhelming bronchitis. It's one thing to say my leg hurts, I believe God to heal me. You can't breathe. That's a different thing. I couldn't breathe. I remember we was driving down the road one day, and I had my wife pull over, and I jumped out the car and just went running. I don't know why I was running. I felt like I couldn't breathe in the car. I felt like I needed to get out because I needed to breathe. And I ran over and laid up against the gate and just was there trying to catch air in my lungs. And I prayed, and I got my breath back. And I said, this is, wow, this is some crazy stuff. Not breathing is crazy. Listen, I can live with a limp. You can live without a leg or a hand. You can't live without breath. You start to realize simple things that you don't think is important is real important when you can't breathe. And we went to the doctor, and the doctor looked me over, and he came back with his diagnosis, and he gave me these pills. He said, you're going to have to take these. I said, for how long? He said, could be for the rest of your life. This is, you know, bronchitis is bronchitis. I don't know how you get it. Some people, maybe it was dormant in your life, and it grew up and over time, and here we are. And he gave me the pill, and he didn't whisper. He didn't do the, because some people believe him, your eyes might fall out. You might get, you know. He didn't do all of that. He didn't fill in all the stuff that they say real fast at the end of the commercial. He just told me, this is what you take. He didn't break down the side effects. I took the pill. We went across the street to get something to eat. I felt nauseous. I couldn't taste my food. I felt like I was going to pass out in the chair a couple of times. I got headaches and dizzy. We got back to the car, and I said, something ain't right with these things. So I called him. He said, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you the side effects. I said, if you don't mind, I'd like to bring these back. He said, no, I can't take them back once I give them to you. If you don't want them, you can throw them away, but I can't take them back. And I stood up with these pills, and I went and stood over my garbage can, and these are the words I said, God, you heal me or I die, but I'm not going out like this. And when I dropped them things in the garbage, I felt the claw go up and catch it. I caught the hem of his garment. I could feel it. My breathing didn't change at that very moment. But I tell you, I haven't had any bronchitis since. Amen. I'm not boasting about my faith. I'm not telling you how strong pastor's faith is. I'm telling you, you all have it. It's been dealt to every man a measure of faith. You have the measure, not a measure. Forgive me for saying it, because it doesn't say a measure. It says the measure. Every man has been dealt the measure of faith. We have it. We just have to use it. When they came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, increase our faith. Jesus didn't say, okay, line up. We're going to have a faith believing increasing line. All of y'all that need your faith increase, get in line right now. Bring a little special gift. God going to move today. Oh, I feel the spirit, people. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus responded and said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will speak. No, you will speak. I don't even want to finish the rest of it. You could say the mountain. You could say the disease. You could say the sickness. You could say the lack. You could say whatever you want. If you got faith the size of a mustard seed, you will speak. Selah. You will speak. If you have the faith, if it's that little, you will speak. Now, let me tell you what's powerful about that. He used the mountain for a reason. He was drawing significance. Mustard seed, mountain. It's just got to be this little. But if you speak to it, no matter how big it is, it'll move. If you speak to it, no matter how huge it seems and insurmountable, oh, somebody need to hear what I'm saying. You know, he didn't say the rock. He said a mountain. People need special equipment and days and training to climb a mountain. It takes some people months to climb a mountain. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He's not talking about little mountains in Central Park that we call mountains. Those are rocks. He's talking about mountains where he was.
He said, if you have the faith as small as a seed that'll fit on your fingertip, speak. Speak.
I don't know if I have that much faith. He didn't ask you to have much. He said, what he basically said to them, if you got any kind of faith, use it. That's what he said. If you got faith, use it. Stop talking. Now, this is in response to them saying to him, increase our faith. This wasn't, see, you can speak to the mouth. No, this is a solution to a question and a problem that the disciples had. We lack faith because you don't speak right. You got that now, right? Master, we lack faith because you don't speak. You ain't doing nothing with what you have. Claim something. Stand for something. Put your foot down on something and refuse to be moved. Be willing to die for something. Do you understand? Turn around and look at everybody in this room for 1 second. You probably could count them with your hands, right? Yet here we stand. Owning a building. Feeding hundreds of people every week. How do they do that? You don't think about it because it just is. You don't see faith working every freaking week. This is huge. Ain't no millionaires in here funding the whole thing. Every week, we went before God and we said, God, we need our faith increased again. Why? Because you're not here to see it, but literally our line has tripled in the past couple of weeks. Tripled. Because they shut down other pantries that were not doing business right. And now all of a sudden, we come outside and our lines are going way down the block and we don't have the money to feed all these people. So we're turning away like 40 people a week breaks my heart. I said, God, we're not doing this anymore. We need to increase and we shall. We didn't know if we were going to even have turkeys this year. Everybody was going, nope, 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 don't have them. We ain't selling them. We ain't selling them for discount price. We can't get it for you. I'm sorry. And we prayed last week. Guess what? We got turkeys and roasters and more turkeys coming. I asked her to pray to agree with me, but my faith was committed. I'm not sending a person home without a bird. That's my commitment. But wait, how are we doing this? Did you look around? Because I know how to reach into the realm and grab substance that you can't see. I know I got that oil and that meal that just don't run out. I know if there's a way for it to be done, it will be done. Now, stand with me a minute. Listen to me. Take a stand with me. Personally, my faith is beginning to grow where I stand in terms of ministry. Got your attention, right? In my personal life, God's good to me and my needs are always met. In my business life, God is good to me and he makes a way. But it ain't as strong as it is when I know I'm doing something that's directly for God. When it comes to this church, you can't make me shake. When it comes to feeding these people, you can't make me worry a second. The enemy may shake me up a little bit when it comes to my own personal desires. Just a little bit. Maybe a day or two. But when it comes to the house and the move of God, you can't make me doubt. You can't make me doubt that God, you okay, sis? Okay. You can't make me doubt that my God ain't gonna show up.
Can't make me doubt it. I don't care if we came here the next week and there's three people. If God don't say close the doors, they'll be open. You can't make me doubt it. Always comes through. So when I ask you guys to join us in prayer for the turkeys, because not because I don't know if we're going to have them. I'm like, no, we're going to have them. If I got to go somewhere to another country and get turkeys and fly them back over, we're going to have some turkeys. I need you to be in agreement for the source and how the door opens up. And it did. Are you listening to me? It did. We got more coming this week, right? We had to give out a bunch of the chickens this week because we're like, okay, we got to make room for the now. We was going to have to give some people turkey, some people chickens. Like, well, now we got more birds coming and roosters. We need to get rid of these chickens so we have room for the new turkeys. Not because it wasn't me believing for my car. It was me believing for the ability to feed the people. So when it comes to that, I have more faith. I own that. I'm learning. God like saying, well, I love you as much as I love them. Why don't you ask me the same way you ask for that stuff? You heard that, didn't you? You heard that, didn't you? You said, yeah, you believe I'll move for other people. I love you too. That should make somebody smile. Say, he loved me too. Say, he loves me when I'm doing work for others. And he loves working with me. I didn't plan to stay this long on this part, but that was God's plan, and I like his plan better than mine. Gives me another week of message to do, so I have to look up some new stuff. So let's go forward now. Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, say every weight,
every weight.
Say every weight. You heard that, right? And the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race set before us. So I'm going to go over this again because it's so meaty. I didn't want to just throw it into 1 week and not recap this. Let us run with patience the race set before us. Let's stop with that and then we'll move back up. Say with me, there is a race that is set before me. Say it again. God has set a race before me, designed for me to run. Now, here's why a lot of Christians are defeated. They run into a bunch of other people's races that ain't the race God set for them to run. You run into somebody else's race. You ordained. You should be a pastor. I don't know why you ain't a pastor. That ain't the race God told you to run. And then you go ahead and accept the calling, and now you're running around like a dog chasing his tail because you're trying to do something God ain't never called you to do. But you got an anointing on it, the way you speak to people. And here you go, running around trying to be something. Have you ever tried to commit yourself to doing something that you never felt right about doing, but everybody told you you should be doing it? People are saying, you know, you got that musical gift. You need to do gospel music. So I started doing gospel music. Drudgery. Wrote a couple of songs. I don't want to do this. I ain't told you to do that. But I can't do R&B as secular. I'm supposed to do gospel. All right, then go ahead and do gospel then. But I ain't called you to do that. So I got out there in the gospel music field a little bit. I've been in the secular music field. I work for record companies and everything. And I saw something amazing. The gospel people were worse. They were worse than the secular people. I'm like, oh my God, your people are filthy. You're singing these songs and then your life is, oh my God. Let me hang with the heathens. At least they're straight up. I'm not saying that about all gospel artists, but let me just tell you, I saw enough to go, this is how you'll get down? You're singing all these holy songs, Jesus, you're in tears, my Lord, you're so holy, and then having orgies? Making babies with other people's wife on the road? This is what you do? Wow. Wow. I'd rather hang with them because at least I know what they're doing. I can preach to them and tell them you need Jesus. I can't tell you that because you already got him in doing this. I digress. Let me get off of that. God said, I need you here. I don't need you with these people who think they already know me. I need you with these people who know they don't know me, and they're going to hear you when you talk about me. And I got to the place that people in the industry name people. I can show you pictures with me and all of them. They know me. They would say, before I even accepted my calling, what's up, pastor? What's up, preacher boy? But they respected me. And they would get around me. Names I can name. I ain't going to drop names here. Names I can name that you go, wow, you know him? Yeah. And if he saw me today, he'd say, what's up, preacher? But they would be around me and they'd say, yo, don't light up. Respect. Respect, preacher boy. Don't light up. Don't cuss. No, come on, dude. Watch your mouth, man. Show him some respect. People you look at on TV and say, he need Jesus. Yeah, but he act like he had more Jesus than the church folk did. Because he would tell them, don't talk like that around me. And don't act like that in his presence. I'm just saying, this is the witness that we are. This is what we show to the world. But you run in a race that God didn't call you to. How could you ever succeed? And if you win that race, you still wouldn't be happy because it's not what God called you to. So let's go back now. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset you. So I said this last week and I'll say it this week for those of you who missed it. So I said, okay. Well, I can't think of any sins in my life that's really, you know, an issue that I can think about. God said, did you even know what you just read? I said, yeah, lay aside the sins that, you know, trip me up, that get me out of your will. He says, that's what it says? I said, yeah. He says, go look up the word beset. And I came to this revelation after reading the word. The words beset is not trip you. Is not get you out of the will of God. How many of you didn't know that? Some of you probably learned last week. Beset is entangles you. A sin that besets you is a dangerous sin because you don't think you're sinning because you ain't falling. It just holds you in one place and doesn't let you receive and get to the place God has called you to. The sin that easily besets you is the sin that makes you immobile. So there's a lot of people in church that are beset by sin, and they don't even realize it because they're not falling. But they're stuck in a place. Been believing for the same thing for 20 years, they ain't got it yet. Believing to be healed for 15 years, ain't got it yet. Believing to prosper forever, ain't got it yet. Sold a seed in every offering, every pastor that came and said, give me a special seed of $500. Did it 500 times and still ain't work yet because you're beset. You're stuck in a place, and you think that you're okay because you're not falling. You're like a calf tied up, and hope deferred makes a heart sick. You think Satan ain't smart? You don't think he know what he's doing? He said, I'm going to let you think you a good Christian because you ain't falling, but you're stuck in a place, and your hope becomes deferred. Then your heart becomes sick. And when your heart becomes sick, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So now, when Jesus said, if you have faith, speak. When you speak, the stuff that comes out your mouth is detrimental and not helpful. Are you feeling me today? You're understanding me today? If you're learning something, wave a hand and say, thank you.
You understand? So Satan's tricks are subtle. Everybody wants to picture him, ah, coming at you, I'm going to destroy you. No, a lot of his deceit is just like he did Jesus. If you be the Son of God, let me see you cast yourself off the mountain. He didn't come and threaten Jesus' life. He came and tried to trick him into an appealing to his flesh to make him try to respond emotionally and not hear what God was doing. Oh, wow, that don't work. So let me quote a scripture. He said he lift you up since you let you dash your feet against a stone. Well, you hungry, turn these stones into bread. He challenged Jesus to do stuff Jesus could do. He turned water into wine. He could turn stones to bread. Matter of fact, he could have turned it into bread and vegetables and protein and everything else. Jesus' response is, I don't let my flesh dictate to me what I do. Man don't live by bread alone. I eat stuff that you don't know about. I got spiritual substance. Satan said, yeah, I know about it. Jesus said, but I know how to get it. Got it? So, we then, let me go back to the word, and let me just bring this home. We're talking about the sin that besets you. It holds you in a place. It keeps you from going forward. So he said the sin, and here's the word that hit me, that easily besets you. You listening? You listening? So then God asked me a question. Now that you know what besets is, and I'm blown away by it just like you are right now, he said to me, what is the sin that easily besets you? And my response was, I don't know. He said, well, how are you going to be free from the sin that easily besets you and you don't even know what it is? You don't even know what keeps you from going forward in the things of God. So how are you going to be free from it? Well, because if it ain't a problem, I don't feel the need to deal with it. Come on, church. See, the whole Trump thing. I kept saying, yeah, people don't want him in there, but now that he's in there, it might make the church have to do some stuff they ain't do before. Now, it may make you have to pray in a way you ain't prayed before. Okay? Now you're scared what he might do. No, being scared ain't going to help you. You better, now, if you know Jesus, you better know him. Because it might get real. And if that's why he's there, thank God for him. So I had to say, God, I don't know what sin besets me. And he said, and somebody used to say to my wife all the time, thank God she's not that person anymore. But I used to always call my wife damage control management. She didn't want to do anything about anything until the roof fell out. Then all of a sudden she wanted to go get buckets and stuff. I'm like, you know, the shingles are blown off the roof. We might need to get this roof fixed. There wouldn't be no movement, nothing. I'm just using that as an example. Until the water starts pouring down and messing up our new couch. Now all of a sudden, we need to get some buckets and we need to put some plastic out and we need to get somebody to fix the roof. Okay, yeah, but I've been saying that for like 5 months. So I used to always tease her and call her damage control. Me, I'm maintenance. My lifestyle is maintenance. You're catching what I'm saying here? How many of you admit, no, I can be kind of damage control. I kind of wait till the bottom fall out and then I get crazy. See? I don't like that. I like plotting it out. I like laying it out in front of me and kind of seeing and then praying about it and kind of getting an understanding of what I'm going through before I go there. So if you ever watch me work on a project and you see me, I'll just stand there and looking at stuff. What are you looking at? Just figuring out how the best way to do this. I'm asking God. I'm saying, let me just start hammering and nailing stuff up and see what happens. Oh, it didn't work. Let's tear it down. Let's do it again. I can't get down like that. I need to hear. Somebody shouted, I need to hear. And you can. You don't have to wait. So God said to me, what is the sin that besets you? Now, let me tell you something. This has been a powerful week for me. How many of you since last week have gone before God and said, God, what is the sin that besets me? Did you get an answer?
You ain't got to tell me, but did you get one? It's just the first answer. It's just the first answer. And God told me this morning. So let me now we're moving into what I thought we were going to start right out in. God said this to me this morning. How many of you are going to pray that God shows you the sin that easily besets you so you won't be beset anymore? God said to me, you're going to like this. You're going to like this. God said to me, God showed me something in me, and I shared it last week. And do you want to hear it again, or should I just move on? God said to me, you treat every blessing I give you as that's great on my way to this. God said, so you appreciate, he said, you're grateful, but you don't appreciate. Those were his words, which threw me off. I'm like, isn't that the same thing? He said, no. You're grateful for everything I give you. You're always thankful. But you don't take the time to appreciate because you treat everything I give you as this is just holding me till I get to that. You feel what I'm saying? He says, so everything I bless you with, you treating it as, well, my house is the blessing. Amen. Praise God. But when I get the real house. So God says, so you don't appreciate, you don't take the time to appreciate what you have. You're always trying to get what you want. And the vision of what I'm believing for, God showed me. But I'm not supposed to spit on what he's given me in the process or treat it as worthless. I'm supposed to listen to your little rinky-dink car, come out and kiss the hood and say, God, it gets me where I want to go. I believe for a new one, but this is what I got today. You don't appreciate that car, you lose it. You be like, that was a good car. that was a good car. You understand what I'm saying? But we can get so caught up in what we believe in for that we don't honor what God has done. So God said to me, that for you is a sin that keeps you bound. It keeps you tied up. It keeps you from going forward. Listening to me. Here's what he said to me today. He said, now that I've showed you that, you good to go, aren't you? Yeah, you showed me what beset me. I'm running free. He said, really? He said, and this is exactly where he said it to me. He said, if there's a stream of water running wherever, and you decide, I know how to stop this water from running. I'm just going to take a big rock and just drop it right in it. Did you fix the problem? No, he said, that water going to pile up, and it's going to move out, and it's going to start creating a bunch of new streams. Now you got six. He said, do you think that the decisions that you make and have made don't have runoff? Oh, we don't want to have this conversation. He said, there's other things now that have been put into place because of the wrong decisions you have made. So don't think just because you got this revelation that your job is done. You now got to go and get things back on track that got off of track because of your disobedience. See, Abraham got off track with Hagar and Ishmael. Them problems live to today. Okay? If Abraham didn't do what he did with Hagar, we would have had 9/11. Let's keep it real. That's Ishmael's seed, Abraham's son. So he said, don't think because now, oh, hallelujah. We love that, church folk. Can I tell the truth today? Oh, God gave me revelation. Hallelujah. Everything is going to be just fine. God's like, no. We got work to do now. Because there are things that have been affected by the way you see things. There are things that have been affected by the way you look at things. There is a downflow of those decisions. He said, I didn't say they're ruining your life or they're bad, but you need to know that your responsibilities are still yours. I didn't want to hear that. I said, hallelujah, forgive me, Lord, I've sinned. Yeah, but you mess around with somebody's wife and then say, forgive me, I've sinned, and she get pregnant, she's still having a baby. God forgives you and everything, but you still got somebody else to feed. You can't neglect your responsibilities that you've created. God said to me, the church is filled with people that don't want responsibility. They just want blessings. They want to have prayer circles and prayer lines and call the intercessors and then be absolved. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Of all of their actions, all their criminal actions, all their immoral actions, all their hurtful actions, they want to just have a people get in circle and pray, and then they're just free from all the crap they created with their actions and go on with their lives. Oh, it got quiet in here. Oh, it got quiet up in here. God said, but you now have to sometimes go make restitution for those old decisions before you can begin to flow again the way I've called you to. Amen. You got to sometimes make some things right. Amen. Amen. Somebody's life might have been ruined by that decision where they're stuck now and they're part of your flow. So now you can't just repent and say, well, I'm free. Well, God freed me. That's all I know. But who is limping because of your decision? You now got to go ask them so that they can be free, because they're part of the down chain of your blessing. And church people are famous for that. Well, I asked Jesus for forgiveness. That's all I know. I'm free. God said it's not so. I put you in this earth to be that seed. And if your actions hurt somebody else, sometime God will tell you to go to them and make it right. I love when people come to me. Somebody did this to me recently. They came, this brother came to me and he said to me, he's in business. I know him from a kid, Mark. I don't know him personally like that growing up. He was Angela's friend. But he's younger than us and he is entrepreneurial. He has businesses. And he said to me, you are part of the reason that I'm doing this. I said, huh? He said, you know, my dad said about you when you were young, they don't understand him. They say stuff about him, but he's going to be successful because he marched to his own tune. He's trying to be his own man. He's going to do well in life. And his father told him, that's the way you should go. I don't know nothing about this. But it affected his life in a positive way. Now, when somebody comes to me and say, you know why my life is hurt and why I haven't been able to do something? Because when I was young, you said this to me and it hurt me. We don't want to hear that. We don't want no part of that. We don't want to stand up and even talk about that to nobody. We stand up, oh, and I was responsible. He told me I was responsible, helped his life. Did you hurt him? You help people and you hurt people. Oh, this is a real conversation right here, huh? Your decisions have hurt people. Am I supposed to be a holy man? I get out there in the club and I start drinking and smoking and cussing and chasing women. There's a room of people around me now whose walk or possibility of being saved has been affected by my action. See, that's why I don't go to church. That's why I don't believe in Christianity. That's your fault. You did that. Now, I repented. I'm free. So I'm not responsible. You are. If God tells you you are, you are. That's your downdraft. So I begin to say to God, okay. I'll take that. You God, you know. You got to know. Now, say this with me. Say, I do not function out of emotion, and guilt is an emotion. So if God wants you to fix some stuff, he'll speak to you.
Don't go off in no guilt trip and start calling a bunch of people. I just want to tell you, if I did anything to hurt you, don't open yourself up to that. A few people went, I heard it in the room. If he directs you, though, don't go making it up. But if he directs you, then you do it. I can't stand when somebody says to me, if I did something to hurt you. If you don't know, get off the phone. Don't tell me if I did something. You know what you did. If you didn't do nothing, that ain't even an apology. You're talking about some if. The other one I hate is, I'm sorry if you took it like that. So you ain't sorry for what you did. You just sorry about how I took it. Don't give me that bull crap. That ain't no apology. Get off the phone. You come to me to apologize, come to me with a specific word. You know what you did or didn't do, and if you didn't do nothing, stop apologizing. What you apologize for nothing for? I know this is just not appropriate, but I'm me. Whenever I would say to my papa, I'm sorry, he'd say, don't be sorry. I hate a sorry nigga. That's where I learned it from. That's where I got it from. My godfather, that was his word, and he said it. And he downstreamed it into me, unfortunately. But he used to say that to me all the time. And it's so funny. So I was like, wow, yeah, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. If you're wrong, just repent for what you did and keep it moving. And don't stop to see if they received it. Don't expect them to hug you every time and say, oh, I've been waiting forever, I love you. They might say, yeah, whatever, I don't accept it. But you're free. You delivered the package. I did my job. I did what I was told to do. Now I go home. You know, be like a postman. Deliver the envelope and don't stay there long enough for them to read the bill and cuss you out for bringing the bill. It ain't your bill. You didn't write the bill. You just delivered it. Just deliver it and get going. You notice that? The postman's job would be horrible if he stood there and watched you open every envelope and he had to take the weight for everything he delivered. Just drop it off and keep it moving. Amen? I've gone to people and said things God told me to say, corrective and repentive, and got cussed out. God said, I told you to leave. You were waiting for them to love on you. You thought this was going to be a kumbaya moment. This ain't a kumbaya moment. Say what you have to say and get out of there. Yes? Let's keep it moving now. So these are the sins that God began to show me of entanglement. These are things that are not going to send me to hell. They're not going to destroy my walk with the Lord. But they stop God from doing with me what he wants to do with me. King David had one sin that we know of that beset him. It didn't take his calling from him. He was still king. God still calls him a man after my heart. But God had to say, I can't build the temple with David because there's blood on his hands because of what he did with Uriah to get his wife. And throughout the Bible, God continues to refer to him as Uriah's wife. Bathsheba, Uriah. The Bible never calls her David's wife. Of course, Solomon, David's son, but it caused Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. And David didn't take that responsibility like that. He repented. But Solomon went on and had himself, 1,000 wives and 50 porcupines and concubines. And I heard a kid say that one time. He had 2,000 porcupines. Listen, that's okay, all the concubines can be porcupines. My point is this. my thing is this. That decision that he made to live lawless passed down to his kids. His kids killed each other. One son raped the daughter. I mean, you understand? His repentance wasn't enough. He needed to now go and correct stuff, and he didn't. He took his hands off, I got God thing. Still the man after God's heart, but he could not be used by God to do the things that God made him to do.
his life was beset, fought with problems, issues. God spoke to me and he said, as I begin to show you what's beset you, if what's beset you has become an issue to others, you need to be ready to do my work to make that right. I know this ain't a popular message in church because we get real self-centered, don't we? Me and my blessings. If things are going good for me, I got a new car. You know, I'm sorry for you, but you know, maybe God don't like you like he like me. You know, maybe you got some sin in your life. But God has a destiny for you, and you don't want anything in the way of that going forward. Are you blessed? Yes. Is your life good? Absolutely. Does God love you? Yes. This is not about God's love for you or God's lack of love for you. Are you listening to me? And this is a good place to wrap this up and bring this home. You listening to me? Yes. Stand with me. I want to say this while everybody's like at attention. Was this a good word today? This is not about whether God loves me or not. This is not about whether God is pleased with me or not, if I'm a perfect Christian or if I'm not. This is about God, am I in the place that you can do everything you want to do with me, or am I hindering your move? This is about God, what is it that you want to do with me, with the race you set before me that I'm tied up and tangled up and can't run it? Are you listening to me? This is about God. You put me here with a purpose, and I've been trying to push my desire on you over your purpose for me. I need some money. I need a man. I need a woman. I need a wife. I need a husband. I need whatever. And God's like, I got a race in front of you that I've given you to run. Are you free to run it, or are you standing at the starting line beset? Getting a little step here and a little step there. I'm moving forward in Jesus. But barely moving. Are we still where we were 5 years ago in the Lord? Something's got us tied. Something's keeping us from going forward. We keep confessing that we're called to greatness and then settling for mediocrity. So here's my charge. Y'all can join me, or y'all can stand and watch me do this. But I refuse to be beset another day. I want to be everything God has called me to be, so I'm redefining myself with the race that he set before me. That the plan that he laid out for me, I need to line up with that. First of all, I didn't even know what race he has set before me. I'm still figuring that out now. I know the overall picture, but I don't know the process because I've been beset. I've been stuck in my own ways, my own opinions, my own point of view of how it should be done, what's fair, what's not fair. God has been showing me great wealth. A lot of wealthy people, all the things they own and have. And God said to me, how do you feel about this stuff? And surprisingly, I said, I don't really care. He said, but I spoke over you through prophets years ago. You remember, Angela, that this was the life I had for you. Yes. What happened? I said, for a while I got caught up in that achievement of jets and yachts and life and houses and this. He said, yeah. Do you know why I wanted you to have those things? No, I just thought you wanted me to have them. I thought that was good enough. That beset me. Didn't matter to me why
It only mattered to me that I wanted it. God said it, and doggone it, I'm going to have it, with or without his help. Now, you don't want to admit it, but that's what we do. Am I telling the truth here today? I'm going to help God get me a husband. I'm going to help God get me a wife. I'll go get me a heathen. God will save him. I'm going to have what God promised me, with or without him. We got to be better than this. We got to be bigger than this. I'm going to be bigger than this. I've set the claw up. That's where my faith is right now. My hope is anchored in it. I am determined to find out exactly who and what God has called me to be and how he wants me to be it. And I'm determined to win. This time, for his glory, not so I can pat myself on the chest and say I won. Say this with me. Say, Father.
Father.
And only say this with me if you agree with this message. Say, Father.
Father.
I receive this.
Show me
the sin that has beset me.
Keep clear to me
the race you set before me.
I've decided today
that everything
that you want for me
is best for me,
and I will not,
shall not,
cannot
finish this race
without your clear direction.
From this moment forward,
I hear your voice,
the voice of a stranger,
the voice of my flesh.
I shall not follow.
Victory is mine.
I step into it now.
Free me, Father,
from every sin
that has entangled me
and kept me out of your greatness.
From this moment forward,
I decide
to soar with wings of eagle
into
the realm of greatness
that you've laid out
for me
without interfering
with your process.
In Jesus' name,
if you believe that, give him a praise.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
You receive something?